May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a very, very rich patient who survived a long and grave illness with the tireless help of his doctor. And so at a follow-up appointment, he says to him, "Doc, I'm so grateful for what you did for me. It saved my life. And so I just wanted to let you know that I made sure that your name is going to be mentioned in my will." The doctor replied, "Oh, so let me see if I need to tweak your medications a bit." You like my little Mr. Burns fingers there. Anyway. Well, last week when the bishop was here and I was at St. Bart's, we had the opportunity to explore in our gospel lesson about how faith and humility are linked to prayer. Now, this week, we also discovered that both healing and gratitude are likewise hallmarks of a prayerful life. 10 lepers make their way to Jesus with the same kind of bold faith and deep humility that Jesus commends in our gospel from last week. And they come expecting the power of God, but they also keep a respectful distance and ask for mercy instead of demanding their preferred outlined point-by-point solution to let God in on their plan. And so that's when Jesus then prescribes that they go to the temple and present themselves to the priest to be certified as clean, disease-free, and able to be welcomed back both to the worship of God and engagement with the broader society. What Jesus had advised was simply what the Old Testament law required of those who believe themselves to be healed of leprosy or any number of other skin disorders that required quarantine. No special Herculean tasks were asked of them to perform to win divine approval. No laying on of hands or rituals or some kind of hocus pocus, though we still have other biblical and traditional warrants that give us the expectation to come forward to receive the anointing of oil and to lay hands on those so that others might receive the sacred touch of God's presence through our own hands as his people. No, instead, Jesus counted their faith and humility sufficient and then set them off to the temple with the understanding that they would be found clean once they got there, healed of the bodily afflictions that had plagued them for so long. So we see that prayers that are offered with conviction and trust in the God to whom we pray, but also asked with demonstrable humility in both word and action, can produce healing. If we have faith in a loving Father who can do wonders, yet keep a chastened view about ourselves as we stand before him, our Lord is moved with compassion and mercy to restore whatever may be broken in our lives, body and soul. Now, the story, instead of just stopping there and serving as merely living examples of the word pictures of faith and humility that Jesus offered us last week, instead we see that it goes on, offering us a sad truism juxtaposed against one hopeful example for the rest of us sinner saints to follow. Of the 10 whom Jesus had healed, only one of them came back and said thank you. And that guy was a Samaritan on top of all that. That's the equivalent of calling that gracious penitent a communist in McCarthy-era hearings in the 50s, or perhaps today a Muslim refugee before a group of self-proclaimed red-blooded American Christians. So if that story of one person being thankful didn't prick the conscience of Jesus' audience enough, Jesus then goes and pours salt on that wound. He not only essentially calls those who didn't come back ingrates in what he implies, he ends up calling into question by implication how much faith and humility the rest of them really had in the first place. Gratitude should be the natural fruit that occurs when we humbly come before God, place our trust in his rescuing hand, and experience the healing power of Jesus' love and grace. We should simply be itching to show God how much we appreciate his wonderful healing and great salvation. We should be chomping at the bit every morning to greet God with a litany of praises for all the good things that he's done for us, and to go to bed dozing off, counting his divine blessings like so many sheep. Prayer that's full of conviction and deep humility can heal the worst of pains and the darkest and most broken of hearts. But when healing comes, it should circle back to prayer. Prayers of gratitude for the wonderful ways we daily encounter the goodness, beauty, truth, love, and awe of our triune God. Prayer. Can do that. Have you been longing for God to heal some aspect of your life? A physical ailment, a relationship, a besetting sin, a heart filled with anxiety, sorrow, guilt? Trust Christ. Present your woes before him, knowing how wonderful he is and how unable you are to fix it, to change it, to live this life on your own without him. Allow the healing word of God, spoken into creation, to take root and grow into a tree of life with leaves that not only heal the hurting places of your life, but are enough for the healing of the nations. Let our Father's hallowed name bring about his kingdom purposes and benevolent rule and will for you. And now think about how you've already experienced the providing, healing, comforting, rescuing hand of Jesus at work in your life. Have you taken time to tell him how much you love him? How much do you appreciate what tastes of glory divine you've already experienced? How often do you reflect on the multitude of taken for granted experiences of goodness as a means to cheer you up in times of sorrow and struggle that you face? Gratitude is one of those spiritual disciplines that researchers have found has quantifiable benefits, both for the body and the soul long term. This morning, I invite you to take a moment to think about all the good things that God has done for you and offer them up as a prayer while I offer this verse from an old gospel song.
He said, I just